You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through the Bible here. That's the whole purpose of the broadcast, for the most part, except for Wednesdays when we do a live broadcast. We cover topics. Perhaps we'll have some guests. I'd like to have more listeners as guests. Call in, become part of the broadcast. Let's talk about your journey, how your journey coming out of Egypt or Babylon, what experiences you've had, things you can share with other people who are coming out of the world system and crossing the border into the kingdom of heaven. The name of this broadcast, Cross the Border, that's what it's all about, is coming out of the world and crossing the border into the kingdom of God and enduring in his kingdom to the end. For the Messiah said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And what does it mean to endure in his kingdom unto the end so that you can be saved? A lot of people throw around salvation as if it were a commodity, something they hold in their pocket, or they have a certificate. You know, it's like, okay, I've got my salvation certificate and nobody can snatch it out of my hand. Once saved, always saved. That's right. They treat it as if it's a commodity. But why would the Messiah say, he who endures to the end shall be saved? And what is our definition of salvation? You know, if people say, I'm saved. What are you saved from? Well, that's a good question. I think we need to define this to make it a reality. So we get our definition from the scripture of what it means to be saved. So there's a lot of clues. And I think one of the biggest clues came from what the Messiah said when he said, he who endures till the end shall be saved. So we find out that salvation isn't like a commodity that you hold in your pocket or you put in the bank or a vault or something. And you, once you have it, it's yours. And it's not that what most people think it is. If he said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's a pointer for us. It's part of the definition of what biblical salvation is. We can't throw that part out and say, well, that doesn't fit, you know, with what I want to believe. So we're going to ignore what the Messiah said when he said, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Because I'm saved, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. That doesn't work for me, Jesus. Yes, no, salvation is not a commodity. It's not a certificate that you have in your pocket. It's not something that you achieve like earning a PhD, you know. It's not that at all. If he who endures to the end shall be saved, and we say, well, what am I being saved from? Well, I'm being saved from the power of sin and death. When does the power of sin and death have its final say in my life? When does it get to claim me? When does death get to claim me because of sin? That's the power of sin and death. You know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. So if that's what I'm being saved from, then my salvation really isn't implemented until my mortality is up, is it? If I have to endure to the end, that would be, I would have to say, the end of my mortality. So endure. Now, to endure something, well, would signify that it's not an easy thing to do if we have to endure something, like an endurance race. If you endure something, that means there's a difficulty in enduring, because, I mean, who has to endure good? You know, who has to endure happiness? Oh, I just can't suffer this happiness and all this pleasure. It's just too much to endure. Now, see, people don't, you know, that doesn't jibe somehow. So if we have to endure, we have to endure something that is difficult. It's unpleasant. That's what endurance signifies. Difficulty, hardship, unpleasant, sacrifice. That's what endurance signifies. Those things and anything else. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that you necessarily look forward to. Endurance. So if you have to endure to the end to be saved, you know, perhaps by faith I'm saved, but how can I be sure? Can I really be sure that I am saved? There's only one way to find out, really. I could be self-deceived into thinking I'm saved, but not be. Is that a possibility? Yeah, it could be a possibility, couldn't it? We have to admit that could be a possibility, that men could be self-deceived into something that isn't true, or they could be deceived by others into believing something isn't true. So there's only one way to find out if I am really saved, whether I believe it or not. I can have assurances along the way. If I see the fruit of salvation, I can say, well, yes, there's the fruit of salvation. You know, we have the fruit of repentance. We have the fruit of the Spirit. Those things would tend to verify that I am saved. But the true test is to run the entire race and to endure to the end. And then I'll know for sure. Then it will be once saved, always saved. Those are the promises of the Almighty. So I do believe in once saved, always saved. When the endurance race is over and I come to the end and I have endured until the end, once I have put on the new flesh, once I have attained the resurrection of the dead in Messiah, I will be saved forever. So yes, I have my own version of once saved, always saved. Once I endure to the end and I enter into the resurrection of life, I will be saved forever. Once saved, always saved. And see, there's no mistake there then. See, those are the promises of the Almighty, and they are yes and amen, and I do believe in that. So what do we have to endure? That's what this is all about, and that's why I'm here every day, because I need to endure. I have to endure to the end, and that means I have to endure that which is unpleasant. I have to keep running the race, whether I feel like it or not. I have to give up things that might feel good or seem good to me, but God's law says that they're not good for me, because if I continue in them, that I won't endure until the end and be saved. Like everything against his law, I have to endure in his kingdom. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So I have to enter into his kingdom, where he is the king, and the king has laws, and I have to endure in his kingdom, putting off all of those things that are against his law, that don't please the king. He said, crucify the deeds of the flesh. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's endurance. That's what it means to endure. The Messiah endured. He picked up the cross and he carried it. And he made it to the end. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. So when we pick up the cross, we're crucifying the deeds of the flesh. We're nailing them to the cross. And we're enduring in his kingdom to the end of our mortality. Then we will have assurance of salvation. Now, I've been carrying the cross and crucifying the deeds of the flesh. I've been moving forward in his kingdom on that straight and narrow way for 40 years now. And now I can look back. See, and I have an assurance because I can look back and I can see the fruit of the Spirit. I can see the fruit of enduring in his kingdom. I can see it. So I have an assurance that, yes, I am saved and I am never going to turn back from the plow. I am never going to turn back from the prize or stop running the race. I have far too much invested in his kingdom to ever turn back, cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. I mean, what could be more important than that? Gratifying the lusts of the flesh, is that more important? Fornicating, is that more important? Chasing women, is that more important? Your next drug fix, is that more important? Getting your next endorphin fix, is that more important than his kingdom? Doing what you want to do, enjoying the pleasures of this life, all of these things that are going to fade away, is that more important? Is your family more important? Is your wife, even your own children? Are all the good things that this life has to offer more important than walking in his kingdom and enduring to the end? Messiah said it, not me. He said, whoever loves their wife or their children or their father or their mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, those are pretty hard words, hard to accept in the world. And many will forfeit their souls simply to put their children or their wife or their mother or their father ahead of the Messiah. Because when you break it down, yes, family is important, but there is something that's more important. And when you break it down truly, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your countrymen are really truly all your brothers and sisters. They are all men and women just like you, created by an almighty God, every single one. They are all his. We are all his. And we are to place nothing before him. That's the temptation, to place anything before him. When Messiah said, seek first, we could translate it, put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek that, to have that first place position in your life above and before everything else. He said, if you don't do that, then you're not worthy of me. Yes, prime, the prime place, the primary place in your life should be him, his kingdom, and his righteousness. Otherwise, you're not worthy, and you will not endure in his kingdom. Most people hate his law. I mean, how do you think you're going to endure in his kingdom if you hate the law of the king? He gave us his law for two reasons. One, it reveals his character to us, and his character is impeccable, you know? I mean, he's the Almighty, the Holy, the one and only Almighty Creator, the God of the universe. And he made everything and he owns everything. So he reveals his character to us through his law. Also through his law, he reveals what he requires of us that we might live a life that's pleasing to him if we desire to live in his kingdom and put him and his righteousness before everything else. If you hate his law, there's no place in his kingdom for you. I'm sorry. If you love breaking his law and refuse to be corrected by him, to learn obedience, there's no place in his kingdom for you. I'm sorry. You know, I don't make the rules. It's his law, not mine. I'm just the messenger here. I'm just his humble servant, pleased to do his will. Sometimes that means I have to say hard things to people, but I am just the messenger, and I do it out of obedience to him because it pleases him to work through his people, to minister to his people, through his people, to have us minister his word to each other. It pleases him, and I'm honored and humbled to be able to do that. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy. Oh, yes. You know, if we don't love mercy, then, we love mercy because we have received mercy. to walk humbly with thy God. What does it mean to walk humbly with thy God? That means to submit. That's what humility is. It's submission. You don't arrogantly say, well, gee, you know, I know what your law says. I know what displeases you, and I'm going to do it anyway. Where's the humbleness in that? Where's the humility in that? There is none. You hate his law. That's not humble. To walk humbly with thy God. So Micah chapter 7 and verse 1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is a briar, and the most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and of thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. You know, these words fitting for a nation that has totally turned its back on the Almighty, sitting and waiting for judgment, waiting for their perplexity. So it is where I live today. You know, the good man is perished out of the earth. Men hate righteousness. And even the good man is stealing from his neighbor, of course, using the gun of the state. The good man is perished out of the earth. There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Yeah, they lie in wait. So I like the way they lurk privily. That's what it says in the Proverbs chapter 1. They lurk privily. Yeah. They do it anonymously. That's, you know, another translation of lurking privily. They want to do it anonymously. They steal from their brother anonymously. And that's what the whole satanic monetary system is all about. It's about anonymous theft by the gun of the state. There's none upright among men. Even the good men wait for the government to send them a check that was taken from their neighbor at the barrel of a gun. Anonymous theft. That's what socialism and communism is. That's what it is. And those who distribute or redistribute the wealth, well, they satisfy their lust for power and control thereby. And they garner as much as they want by skimming it off the top to themselves. You see why it's such an abominable system, that the Almighty hates it. That's right. The Almighty hates socialism and communism because all it is legislated theft by men who get to skim the best and the most for themselves off the top. That is what it is all about. That's what socialism and communism is all about. And I live in a nation. I live in the USA, the United Socialist America, you know, the United States of America, the United Socialist States of America. That's where I live. And I'd say at least probably 90 to 95% of the people are card-carrying socialists, and half of them are in denial. Well, I'm not a socialist. I'm a, you know, whatever. I'm a conservative. I'm a neocon. I'm a conservative. I voted for George Bush. You're a card-carrying socialist then, because George Bush was a socialist and a papist. You don't believe me? Just Google these two words in your search engine. Bush, Catholic. You will be surprised at what you find. Yes, Bush Catholic. and you'll get an education there. Let's see, Catholicism, or I should say the Vatican, is the mother of communism and socialism. Most people don't know that either, that it is the mother of it. It is the biggest proponent of socialism and communism in the world today. As a matter of fact, that's what the whole Mark of the Beast monetary system is going to be founded upon. Redistribution of wealth. Theft. And the Almighty hates it. That's right. The Almighty hates forced charity because of the evil that accompanies it. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back after some messages.